Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is On Point. These are tough times for lots of people, but let's focus now on the challenges that face teenagers. There are, of course, the usual suspects like acne, the pressure of high school, the drama of complicated relationships and friendships. But to that, let's add the stress of a global pandemic, being cut off from friends and a sense of isolation and uncertainty. Now, navigating all that before the age of 20 years old, without any sense of when things, if things, are going to return to normal, well, at the very least, it can feel scary. And that's where my next guests come in. They're the 16 and 17-year-old hosts of the breakout podcast Teenager Therapy, produced for teens by teens about the everyday issues they face.
Teenager Therapy, because we have problems too.
And that's the jingle. And in case you missed it, it says, teens have problems too. This hour, On Point, passing the mic to Generation Z. And with us now from Anaheim, California, is Gael Ader. He's the 17-year-old creator and co-host of the breakout podcast, Teenager Therapy. Gael, great to have you. Thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
You have amazing numbers, which I'm going to put my hands on, but you've got like more than a million downloads, hundreds of thousands of people tuning in, listening to this. It's really, really impressive. So congratulations for that. Tell me how it got going. Where did the idea come from? Why did you want to do it?
Well, it all started in 2018. And one day I had got tired of music. I mean, I was at the pool and I didn't want to listen to music. I didn't know what to listen to. And I was on Spotify and I saw podcasts. And at the time, I had no clue what a podcast was. I had never listened to one, and I barely had even seen the name around before. So I decided to click on them, and I started looking for podcasts to listen to. And one that caught my eye was the one that Casey and Candace Neistat made, because I used to watch Casey Neistat all the time on YouTube. So I thought, you know, I should listen to his podcast as well. So I began to listen to it, and I just was so hooked on it. I mean, I was binging all the episodes. I was absolutely obsessed with it, mostly because I thought it was just so real and authentic, and they were so vulnerable with their audience about the problems that went on in their marriage, because the name of their podcast was Couples Therapy, hence our name.
Ah, and I see. Couples Therapy. So that's where you got the idea for Teenager Therapy.
Yeah, that's kind of where I got it, because I really liked the name, and I liked the concept, and I thought, you know, I was able to relate to so many of their problems, and obviously they're a lot older than I am. And I thought, well, imagine how helpful it would be if teenagers had a source where they could see what other teenagers are going through and the problems we're having and what we're facing and how we're dealing with them.
Right, and there was really nothing else out there, right?
Exactly, no, nothing at all. Like, I searched up before I made a podcast. I was like, I wonder if this has been done before. And there was like no consistently and highly produced teenage podcast out there that had like the same concept as ours, which is like why I decided to start it. And that's how the idea came to be. I told my friends, Mark, Isaac, Thomas, and Kayla, and they all thought it was a good idea. And from there on, we began to film the first episode in September of 2018.
Wow. It's such a great story. Tell me a little bit about the goals of creating a podcast. I mean, what do you want listeners to know, to take away from this podcast?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, we were trying to figure out why are we making this? What is our narrative? What's our goal with this? And I think something that really spoke to us is just letting people know that they're not alone with their issues. Like, I can't even tell you how many times we've gotten messages from our listeners or from friends that they listened to the podcast and we talked about a specific problem we were having. And they so excited to tell us that they've been having the exact same problem, and they didn't know if they were the only ones that were going through this. And they were just so happy that there was others also going through it and that they could relate so much to us. And I think that's the main reason we do this. And because we want to show how important it is to be vulnerable. And I think vulnerability is a really important thing. And, you know, I think our two main goals with this podcast is show people that it's okay to not like to not be the only one going through these things, and that you're not the only one going through these things, and that vulnerability is such an important thing.
Mm. Gael, I want to hear just a little bit to give listeners, and we'll be throughout the hour. And by the way, we're going to hear from two of your co-hosts a little bit later in the hour as well. But I want to play a clip from the podcast. So here's one from February 2019. It's an episode entitled "We Aren't Perfect." And I'm told that this is one of your favorites, Gael. And toward the beginning of the episode, you and your co-hosts Mark and Kayla share your feelings about being so open with your listeners.
You know, the hardest part about doing these podcasts is that, you know, our whole message is we want to talk about the things that others are too scared to talk about, which is the conversations that are uncomfortable to have, the ones we don't want to have. I don't know. It's weird. I guess doing the harder topics, it's just... even us are still trying to be comfortable with the fact that we're being so personal with all of you and being so open with all of you.
It's scary.
It is scary.
I was about to say, it's scary knowing that like so many people know these like facts about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First of all, Gael, I want to say one thing about your hosting. You're really good at this. I mean, I listened to a couple of hours of these podcasts last night before I went to bed, and I was just really impressed with how you manage your other co-hosts, the subjects. You're a really good moderator, so well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I mean that. I'm being sincere. And by the way, I promised the numbers. 2.2 million total downloads, 2.6 million streams, 423,000 followers on social media platforms. So this is a real thing. So a year and a half after that show, do you feel any less nervous about sharing your intimate thoughts?
I think so. I think, honestly, from the very beginning of... Thomas and I have probably been the most comfortable sharing our problems. I think we've really lived our mission about being open and vulnerable about the things we go through. I've loved talking, and I have a tendency to really overshare. And I think that's why this podcast is so perfect for me, because I get to, you know, like I say, I get to cry on the internet and gain something from it at least. So for me, it's not as hard. I think it's just trying to get everyone else to also open up. That's probably the hardest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Listeners and teens in particular who are listening to our program right now, we want to hear from you. How have you been feeling, and what have you been thinking about with all that's going on in the world? Tell us what's on your mind. Let us know if you've heard the podcast, Teenager Therapy. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at On Point Radio. My guest is Gael Ader, who is the creator and co-host of the podcast Teenager Therapy. Gael, in that clip, you talk about wanting to talk about things that folks are sort of too scared to talk about. Mm-hmm. What's a good example of that, of a conversation you guys had that, you know, really felt like this is scary, but we got to talk about it?
I think one of the most memorable conversations we had is an episode where we talked about the friendship struggles we were having. And in that episode, you know, I think the audience has a tendency to believe that we're this very perfect friend group with, you know, that's always happy and like love each other so much and are always hanging out and having a great time. And in that episode, we really were vulnerable about the fact that, you know, we were having issues, that we didn't feel as close to each other as before, that, you know, some of us don't even talk to one another. And I think that was a very special episode, because that was the hardest part about this, because we were being so vulnerable and really sharing the side of things that people don't want you to see. I think especially in the influencer world, people have a tendency to pretend they're friends with people that they're really not friends with, and they pretend to, you know, be having a great time when they're totally not, and like it's just for the camera. And I think the fact that we shared how we really felt about each other was just so raw and emotional, and I think that was exactly what we set out to do in the first place.
I want to ask you a little bit about the kind of feedback you get from your listeners, and how does that help shape what you discuss? In other words, are the subjects ideas that come up with you and your fellow co-hosts, or are you getting fed ideas from listeners as well?
I think it's a mix of both. Our listeners definitely have a big impact on what we talk about. We get lots of DMs about people telling us personal problems they have, and then they ask, would you guys be able to talk about not being close to a family member or being the only child? And, you know, I think they understand that we're not necessarily there to give advice, but they want to hear our situation and the things we're going through and how we're dealing with them, which is exactly what our message is. And then they can take something out of that, out of how we dealt with it, process it, and then hopefully apply it to their own life. And I think that's what a lot of our listeners are doing. And that's, they also inspire the episodes. Like a lot of them have inspired episodes on racism or acne or family struggles. So they're definitely a big part of this.
Yeah. I'm curious, Gael, if this has opened up a whole sort of idea about what you want to do with your life after high school, after college, if you're planning to go to college, are you thinking of getting into broadcasting, journalism, something like that?
I've always been interested in entrepreneurship. I've always had a dream of building a company and a business. So that is ultimately my goal with this. And I think with this podcast, you know, I hope to keep it going as long as possible, relive it in other ways and other products and whatever, you know, we could use the brand. But in terms of journaling and broadcasting, I don't think journalism's for me. I do enjoy podcasts, and I think maybe I might possibly do something in the podcasting space, but just try to reinvent the wheel a little bit and not be as scripted, as professional as, you know, the current podcasts are, and just be more real and authentic, because I think that's what's really missing in the space.
That's interesting. Well, you guys aren't scripted, though, as far as I can tell. I mean,
no.
It sounds really – it's, and we'll be hearing more examples of this, but you guys sound like, you know, normal folks sitting around talking.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want it to sound like. That's been my goal since day one, is just to, you know, make it feel like a real conversation or a raw conversation that you're just listening in to some friends, and hopefully you also feel like you're part of it.
All right. We're talking with some of the hosts. Right now, we've been talking to Gael Ader. He's the creator and the co-host of the podcast Teenager Therapy. We're going to hear from the other co-hosts after this break. And we're asking the question that Teenager Therapy asks, one of the questions that it asks, about what it's like to be a teen in this moment. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're talking with the host of the wildly popular Teenager Therapy, a podcast produced by teens for teens about everything from mental health and relationships to pop culture to current events. With us from Anaheim, California, is the creator and co-host Gael Ader. In all, there are five co-hosts, and I want to introduce two more, Mark Hugo and Isaac Hurtado. They both join us from Anaheim as well. Mark and Isaac, welcome to On Point, and congratulations on the podcast, and great to have you.
Hello, thank you.
So let me start with you, Mark. I want to actually both ask you both the same kind of question that I asked Gael. Give me a sense of why you wanted to do this and what you're getting out of it. Just sort of talk a little bit about the birth of this project and why you wanted to do it.
So Gael has always been such a good friend for me. I was a new kid during my freshman year, and I didn't really have anybody, you know, to talk to and stuff like that. But Gael introduced me to a lot of his friends. He helped me getting accustomed to the environment at high school. And he's helped me so much. And when he asked me if I wanted to be on the podcast, I had to say yes. You know, I wanted to pay back what he gave me. And I want to help him achieve his dreams. And by helping him achieve his dreams, I end up helping a lot of people around the world.
What about you, Isaac?
So for me, originally, Gael made me listen to an episode of Couples Therapy. And I thought it was very interesting because he introduced Teenager Therapy as well, the idea of it. And at the time at high school, I would have a lot of people who weren't really close friends come up to me and tell me about their romance or mental problems. And I always thought, you know, I'm not their close friend as much. So why would they tell me? They're that desperate for help. Well, they'll just ask anyone. So I really wanted to, you know, make a commitment to a place where teenagers around the world who are experiencing the same problems, not finding anyone to talk to. I really wanted to be a part of that. And when Gael introduced teenager therapy, that was the way.
Gael, you know, I'm really struck. All three of you have talked about this issue of feeling isolated. And I gather that's been exacerbated by the pandemic in a big way. Is that fair to say?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this pandemic, you know, I think for the first 2 months, it was kind of nice because it felt like a summer vacation. And we were all just enjoying and no more tests, no more deadlines, none of that. It was just hanging out at home, relaxing, doing whatever we want to do. And there was really nothing else to do. You know, we were just kind of like stress-free. But I think the longer this pandemic went on, we just kept getting more and more isolated because we kept realizing who our school friends were, who our real friends are, who doesn't try to talk to us and who does. And I think that definitely takes an impact on our mental health because people that you would have expected to reach out never did. And I think that's definitely something that affects all of us in a very big way. And the fact that we can't really see friends often, if at all, is also, you know, very tough on us. And I think that's probably been the biggest hit, is just the impacts of our social life.
I want to play a little clip from one of your episodes that touches on this. Your co-host Thomas shared a bit about how he about how you were all feeling when the pandemic became a reality in an episode called Coronavirus Panic Staying Safe.
We really didn't expect the coronavirus to be like this bad. You're like, right. You know, everyone's like, haha, what if our school's going to get canceled? And our school actually did get canceled for 2 weeks. And
Friday, it got canceled.
Like, no one is taking it really seriously. Like, I'm not taking it seriously. Low key, it's like, oh, like, I hope my grandparents won't get it, but I'm fine. You know, like, that's how everyone's acting, which, you know, it's kind of understandable.
So how are you all holding up now? Mark, let me come back to you. I mean, talk a little bit about missing school. Are you hoping to go back this fall? How are you holding up?
Right now, it'd be perfect, you know, to go back to school because I missed the social aspect of school. But because of everything that's going on right now, the pandemic and all that, I am totally okay with online school and all that.
So that's working out, because a lot of folks have a lot of complaints about online schooling, but that's working out for you.
Yeah.
What about you, Isaac?
I think online schooling is hard, and I really want, you know, actual school to open up, but with the corona around, I think we should really wait until at least next year. But yeah, like, face-to-face conversations, talking to friends, I think that's something that a lot of teenagers today need. And I just wish schools would be able to open sooner, but with everyone going out, that's just so hard.
We received a voicemail from a listener. Joseph is a 19-year-old student at James Madison University in Harrisburg, Virginia, and he called us from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and said that he and many of his friends have turned to social media to escape the pandemic. So let's listen to what he says.
My screen time has absolutely skyrocketed ever since quarantine started. And there are just so many different outlets for, you know, expressing yourself in a time where you can't really talk face-to-face with friends or hang out, play sports, that type of thing. I want to go out. My friends want to go out, but we're stuck inside and we feel like our best years have been stolen from us. Just being cooped up and, you know, and not to mention all the stuff on social media has been polarizing people. I mean, I have friends who believe the coronavirus isn't real. I have friends who believe that the coronavirus, the way we've responded, has been absolutely horrible.
That's Joseph, a 19-year-old student from James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Gael, what are your thoughts on this issue? Have you all found yourself on social media more during the pandemic? And what's the effect then?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Social media has been our outlet for escape from all this. I think, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic, I was really, you know, listening to the news every day and I would go on Twitter or go on a news site and just see what's going on in the world, any updates. And I was just very worried, I think, just kind of like trying to figure this out, just as we all were, about what it meant, how long this was going to last. And I think after 2-3 weeks of that, that was very draining, just constantly seeing updates of it getting worse and worse. And I think eventually I decided to just, you know, find an escape from it, which is why I turned to social media. You know, platforms like TikTok and Instagram or Twitter are great for just escaping the moment and just kind of getting rid of it. But it's ironic that even in platforms like Twitter, you could be scrolling and laughing at something that's really, you know, funny and humorous, and then the next tweet is a terrible statistic about the pandemic, and that kind of like puts it in the back of your mind, and then you think like, this is really like, I can't escape it, it's not getting any better. Which has definitely had an impact.
Right. Isaac, what about you? How are you dealing with this? Do you find yourself sort of you know, forcing yourself to just get off of Twitter and Facebook and TikTok or whatever it is?
Yes, definitely. I have to force myself off apps like TikTok. Mm. And honestly, there's a lot of political stuff on TikTok and stuff, and it can really get into a teen's head. So just taking a break from all of that and, you know, talking to your family at home or just going on a call with a friend is a lot better than just scrolling through Twitter, Instagram feed, or just TikToks all day.
Listeners, we're talking to the co-hosts of the hit podcast, Teenager Therapy. You can join the conversation. What issues are on your mind, especially if you're a teenager? Have you heard the podcast? Let's go to Patricia, who's not a teenager but has a good question. Patricia, you're on the air. You're calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for the call.
Yes, hi, I'm a parent, and I'm so glad to be riding in my car because On Point is on point right now.
Thank you for
teenagers.
That.
Gael, you're great. I mean, he said in the beginning that you're definitely talented. I love the way you talk. I like how you vocalize, and your hosts sound just as great as you.
Thank you.
We are going to start listening to this podcast. I'm really thankful to God to be listening because I'm struggling with raising teenagers. So us parents need love, too. I wrote down so much stuff, God. Like, I don't know where to start. I guess I'm going to have to listen to the podcast to ask more questions. But if I could sum it up, my kids are on social media, mainly TikTok and Snapchat, and they're exposed to a lot there, you know, twerk videos, many of their friends. And I'm serious. I'm not talking about just teenagers like 13. I mean, sixth graders, seventh graders, smoking weed, smoking hookah. I'm talking about broccoli weed. I ain't talking about like a blunt. I'm talking about kids rolling blunts like grown people. I just don't understand. How do I tell my daughter and my son, like, just because you see that, it doesn't mean you have to do it? And when they don't do it, then they're not accepted and they're treated different. So I'm mainly asking about the peer pressures that teenagers are under, and how can I tell my children that, hey, if you do that, it's going to follow you in life. If you want to be a veterinarian or if you want to be in the NBA, you can't have these kind of videos online. It could really hinder your future.
Patricia, it's a great question about peer pressure. Let me ask all three of you to respond to Patricia, starting with you, Gael.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely love when parents listen. It's such a pleasure. But I think peer pressure is different than what people, well, teenagers think it is. I think all our lives we've been taught that it's this thing where someone will push you and be like, try this, keep trying it, try it. But I've really never seen that. What you really start to see is the environment, the fact that there's so many people doing it, that's where the peer pressure, like, it's almost internalized. Like, you feel it even though no one's telling you. You know, someone could ask you, hey, do you vape? Do you do this? And you could say no. And they'd be like, oh, that's all right. Yeah, don't do that. That's terrible for you. But even though they say not to do it, you still feel the pressure because you see them doing it and everybody else is doing it. And then you feel left out. And the fact that you feel left out just adds to that pressure. And I think for these kind of conversations, I've always believed in the parenting style of just trusting your kid and, you know, having them come to you for a safe environment. And like, I think it's unavoidable that eventually they'll want to try it or they have the curiosity. I think that a large part of, you know, being curious about is your environment and like how often you see it. Mm. And it's almost impossible to avoid. So I really think maybe just being open with them about it and kind of embracing the fact that they might try it someday. And if you can't stop them, you might as well be there to like help them manage it and, you know, develop at least a healthy relationship with it over an unhealthy. So just, you know, talk to them and tell them, if you're going to try this, if you're curious about this, at least come to me and maybe we could like help and I could sort something out.
Patricia, it's a great call. Mark, Isaac, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like with a strict parenting style, the kid will most likely lie to their parents and keep it a secret and stuff like that. And that just sort of builds a unhealthy relationship with the parent and the son and daughter. So being honest, communication is really important. And I'd say just be honest with what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Hmm. And like Ayel said, sort something out.
Right. What do you think, Isaac?
So with peer pressure, it's just pretty much a teenager trying to fit in. And like Mark said, I have a single mother, and just make sure to communicate, because your mom will always be there for you. Well, not in everyone's life, but you can always have someone there for you. And if you don't communicate how you're feeling, how you can't fit in, you don't have good friends who won't peer pressure you, then I think just communicate. Try your best.
Sounds like sound advice. Let's go to the phones again and go to Riley. She's calling from Sebattis, Maine. Hi, Riley. You're on the air. Thanks for the call.
Hi, nice to meet you. So one of the things, first of all, I'm a guy, but one of the things I wanted to communicate to you all was that one of the things I struggled with when I first went into the pandemic was I was like the perfect happy kid, and then I noticed myself sliding down kind of like into an anxiety and depression. Hmm. And one of the things I found to help with myself is, first of all, I started seeing a counselor. And I know there's a big stigma about mental health and seeing it. So that was a big step for me to be able to tell my parents, hey, I need some professional help. So that helped. And then I also have a 3-step program that I go through with myself every day. And it's forcing myself to get back into the habits that made me happy when I was like pre-pandemic. So I force myself to get up at a reasonable time, like 8 o'clock in the morning, eat some breakfast. And then I force myself to plan at least one or two things that I'm going to do throughout the day. So whether that's workout or see friends or do some gardening. And I notice that it doesn't have an effect right away, but getting back to that normal behavior as best as you can really has helped my mental health.
Riley, thanks so much for that. Just I want to clarify, I'm looking at the producer notes. You're 17 years old, right? And you're a senior in high school, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. Gael, what do you hear from Riley? That sounds like pretty sound advice. And how big an issue is this around the issues that he's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that is incredible advice. Probably the same that I would give. And it's actually what has helped me, you know, stay stable throughout all this. I think when I catch myself kind of falling off, I realize that it's because I don't have a routine. And if I don't have a routine, I feel like every day blends into one, and I feel a sense of desperation and just, you know, meaningless. So when I started, you know, waking up earlier at 8 or 9, and then I had a set routine where I would do work and then I would exercise, eat, and just, you know, do that every day. I think that helps me have a schedule and have something that, like, I know I'm going to do for sure that day. So I think the lack of routine is a really big problem, especially in this pandemic, because when a lot of teenagers realize that if school isn't telling them what to do, they don't really know what to do, because one, they might not have any hobbies because they spend so much time in school, kind of like lost as to what they even enjoy outside of school. And two, you know, they don't have that routine, which leaves them feeling very lost. And I think what you need to do is really develop a routine and start experimenting with stuff, really. Like, start trying new things that interest you. Even if you don't think you'll like it, just try it. And just keep trying new things, because eventually you'll probably find something you really enjoy, and, you know, it can make you very happy.
Riley talked about part of that routine. And Mark, I'll come to you on this question. And, you know, if you're feeling sort of depressed, part of that routine is getting up early and getting back to sort of things that make you feel a little bit normal. Is that something you've experienced? And I was struck by the idea of setting a schedule and getting up at 8 o'clock, because I know as a teenager, you've got this terrific capacity, which I have to tell you, honestly, I envy. You can sleep and sleep and sleep, but I guess at a certain point, that becomes not a good thing.
Yeah, it's very hard to start a routine and keep it up, but I say it's all about discipline, self-discipline, and self-control. And I feel like that's a huge, important lesson to learn, you know, very early on, because in the future, you know, when you're an adult and all that, I feel like that's... you have to have self-discipline to keep yourself up, you know, to you know, just to live through life. And like, I'd say if you're able to learn it very early on in life, you'd be set.
We are talking to the creator and the co-hosts of the podcast Teenager Therapy. It debuted in September of 2018. As we heard, the idea came from listening to Couples Therapy, that podcast by that name. Gael, Mark, Isaac, stick with us. We're going to talk more. We're going to take more calls. We're discussing life as a teen with a few of the co-hosts of the podcast Teenager Therapy. Stick with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks. Tomorrow is our weekly news roundtable. We want to know what's on your mind. How is your community dealing with the coronavirus? How has it affected your life? Do you live in a state that had a primary this week? What was it like voting? Tell us your stories. Leave us your questions at 617-353-0683. Again, that's 617-353-0683. This hour, we're talking about teenage life right now with three of the five hosts of the podcast Teenager Therapy. With us from Anaheim, California is Gael Ator, Mark Hugo, and Isaac Hurtado. I want to talk a little bit. Oh, I want to play a clip. That's what I was going to do. Sorry, guys. I got a little distracted there. So, Isaac, this is from an episode called Black Lives Matter that aired in early June. And you and some of your co-hosts had a little debate over how much you should be posting about the movement. So let's take a listen here.
You know, we have a podcast and we have many like black listeners, I'm sure, that like, you know, look up to you probably specifically too. And, you know, so why didn't you think about them and like the fact that you have this platform that you could use?
You're right. Especially on Instagram. That's where I have the most followers. I just thought of it, like the whole performative activism part, especially since when I thought of posting, it was like a day or two after, and like everyone else posted. But also, I just thought of it as like we share the exact same followers, so maybe they would see the same thing. I just wasn't smart.
So, Isaac, tell me a little bit about that experience, how it made you feel, because disagreeing with your friends and co-hosts on the air, it must have been a little tense, a little difficult in some ways.
Definitely. That was probably the most tense I've felt in an episode. But honestly, that's the message we're going for, you know, to be vulnerable. And sometimes you just have to confront those problems you have in your friend group. And in that case, it was just me. And I'm very grateful that Thomas brought that up. You know, we were able to show everyone that even if there's a problem, we're not afraid. If it means, you know, fixing our friendship or getting away negative stigma, then that's just the right thing to do.
So let's go to the phones. I want to go to Rachel from Madison, Wisconsin. Rachel, go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for the call.
Hi. I just want to comment. The pandemic has been really hard for me. My mom's even a school counselor, and she's awesome, and I have an awesome support group. But even just not being able to get outside and see people of my generation have been really hard for me. But I've been dealing with it, but I appreciate what y'all are doing.
So Rachel, what's the best sort of advice in terms of dealing with that? How have you been dealing with it?
I take care of a little toddler as my summer job, so he's a little beacon of sunshine for me. But then also getting outside, I gave in and got a hammock that I put out in my front yard, just getting outside and being productive. As somebody said earlier, waking up at a certain time on a regular day before noon. is really helpful.
Waking up before noon, that seems key. Rachel, thank you so much for the call, and good luck to you. You know, Gael, I'm really struck, and I'm almost ashamed to admit this because I don't think I should be, but just how many people, and you guys have talked about this, just the tension and the difficulty around dealing with this pandemic and the isolation that it brings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hearing that from, I know we heard it right off the bat from you guys, and we're hearing it from callers as well.
Yeah, it's a real thing. That is the biggest issue with this pandemic, like that wave of loneliness. And I think what's really going to be interesting to see is just how it turns out after this is all over, and like the connections that are just permanently lost, you know, because I think there's definitely going to be some friendships that just never get back to how they used to be.
One more call. Let's go to Camilla, who's calling from West Palm Beach, Florida. Camilla, you're on the air. Good to have you. Go ahead.
Hi, how's it going, guys? So my question is, well, you guys are relatively young, and it's pretty clear that a lot of people rely on you for support in ways that maybe they don't have back home. Do you at times feel a little overwhelmed by that responsibility? And do you think that your age may play a part in how you feel about your position?
Camille, it's a great question. Gaia, let me go to you first on that.
Yeah, I think that's a very big responsibility. And just as our audience grows, that responsibility becomes even bigger. I think that's why in more recent episodes, we really started to plan for them a bit better and do more research and try to get like the facts there. Because I think as we keep growing this podcast and as more people listen in every episode, we're going to have to take the responsibility of educating people and bring in factual information. So even though our goal was never to create a podcast about just simply like educating others, and it was just about talking about what we go through, I think it's also important to spread the facts that, you know, are important on mental illness and mental health and the right resources that you should go to if you need professional help.
Mark, what about you? I mean, is there a point where sometimes you feel, at which sometimes you feel pressure because so many people are depending on you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, initially, I thought the podcast was just going to be a cute little project for us to do. But as we grew in listeners and as we grew in DMs and all that, like, it really got very serious. And, you know, I like to use this example. I was very vulnerable in an episode called Only Child Syndrome. And in that episode, I talked about my struggles being an only child. And after that episode, one person reached out to me and she said that she felt the same way that I was feeling. And because she knew someone that was going through the same thing, she felt like she was not alone. You know, our message, you're not alone. And after that DM, I realized the value and importance of our podcast and what we can really do. And from that, like, I just see that as motivation to try my best in the podcast and all that. But it does get hard, you know. You have to watch out what you got to say because you don't want to hurt or offend your viewers and all that.
Sure. Isaac, what about you? I mean, this seems like a really, because what I'm struck by when I listen to your podcast, and Gael and I were talking about this earlier, it's not scripted. You guys are just kind of, you know, super relaxed with each other. But I guess you do need to be careful about what you say because so many people are listening and sort of depending on you for advice and guidance and thinking and thoughts.
Yeah, it especially hit me for Instagram DMs. A lot of people would send their problems, and these could be long paragraphs about problems they may have with their family. And I think it's just important that we redirect them to the resources they need because we're just teenagers. We're not professional therapists. And I always want to get that message out. Like, we cannot help with every single problem you have. But we're here, you know, for them to relate to use our experiences in their own lives. And I think that's the way we can help them.
Hmm. Another subject I wanted to ask you guys about, and that is, we're in an election season, in spite of it's a strange election season because of the pandemic, but we'll be voting for a president in November. I know none of you guys aren't voting age yet, but Gael, what are you thinking about as you think about the current moment in American politics as we move toward Election Day?
Yeah, I've been following this election closely, you know, since the Democratic debates, and I always thought it was very interesting the type of candidates that, you know, made it to the end. I find it very polarizing, the two candidates we have right now. I think it's going to be a very interesting election. I personally do not understand why people would not vote for the Democratic Party, and, you know, as a sort of like a message about them fighting the system. I think that is unreasonable because it's going to be hurting the people that are the most vulnerable: immigrants, students, people of color. And I think that is a very hurt thing that could happen if Trump does get another 4 years in the office. So I personally, I know I can't vote, but if I could, I would be voting for Biden, not because I support his policies or him as a person, but just because I think it's better than having 4 years of Trump.
So speaking of that, speaking of not being able to vote, what do you think? Should teenagers have the right to vote, Gael?
I don't believe so.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I expected you to say just the opposite, but go ahead.
No, ironically, I do not think so because, I don't know, I think it would be interesting, but just the fact of the people you see in high school, the majority of people you see in high school, I've met people that don't even know when the president election is or how long a president is supposed to be in office. And I know that doesn't represent the entire teenage population, but I really think we need a little bit more development because a lot of 16 or 17 year olds aren't thinking about politics. Maybe that will change in future generations, but I think our specific generation is starting to get more involved, but there's still a lot of teenagers that don't really understand the impact of the choices and candidates.
Mm. Our time is winding down, sadly, but I really appreciated this conversation. Gael, I'm going to just put one more question to you. So this podcast, obviously, it's got the name Teenager Therapy. What happens when you three, you five, are no longer teenagers? Does the podcast live on, or do you have a plan for a 20-something podcast? What are you thinking?
I have the idea that after we all turn 20 and none of us are teenagers any longer, that I want to pass it down to the next generation, maybe a group of freshmen or sophomores in high school, and ideally a group of friends that get along well, and just see them keep the podcast growing and just then all pass right. it on to the next generation.
Pass
just,
the torch. Mm-hmm. Gael exactly. Ator, Mark Hugo, and Isaac Hurtado, they are co-hosts of the hit podcast Teenager Therapy. You guys, thank you all for joining us today. We really, really appreciate it. Congratulations on the podcast. Keep it up and good luck to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much as well.
So this past spring, the pandemic hit graduating seniors in a particular way. We've been hearing about that. Their classes ended abruptly. They were suddenly disconnected from their school and each other. Their senior portraits taken months before the pandemic were equally disconnected from where they were living, what they were living through. Portrait photographer Matt Mendelson wanted to do something about that, so he volunteered to reshoot the portraits of the class of 2020 at Yorktown High School in Virginia. His project is called Not Forgotten. Now, in each portrait, Mendelson brought along a canvas backdrop as the one unifying element, and before he started taking pictures, he asked each student to tell him something about themselves and this moment.
Before I can post it on Instagram, I want to have some information. So I started having them, you know, email me and I say, answer me three questions. What did you do?
I think our class has been trying to figure out how to balance dealing with the things we've lost this spring while also maintaining a level of awareness about the things.
Where are you going?
I'm excited to be going to the West Coast and attending a big school in a big city on the water and being exposed to new people with different perspectives.
What do you love?
Music has completely turned my life around. Even now, after practicing every single day, making new beats, I still view it as something that makes me happy. Hopefully I'll be able to do this all my life because nothing brings me the same joy I get from finding an old jazz song maybe three people have heard.
What I love is photography and people. That would be the answer to my questionnaire. I wanted to set out to do a portrait of one high school during a year of loss. I wanted to make a photo essay that had a cohesive feel to it, hence the backdrop, the same backdrop, you know, whether it's up in a tree or in the case of one kid who wants to go into auto body repair, I had him use the backdrop as a drop cloth as he sat underneath the car. So I wanted it to feel like a cohesive project, and I think that's what we've gotten. You know, the best portraits so far have been from the seniors who like think about what they want. Sort of like saying, what are you going to put into your personal time capsule portrait? I'm saying bring an element of you to this shoot. So they think about that going in. And just like, you know, George came out with all of his hiking gear on, that's what he's passionate about. And I love that he did that. You know, he shimmied up this tree in no time flat. And he unfurled the backdrop like he was sort of like a Greenpeace protester holding the backdrop in this tree. And it was hysterical. One girl came out with the battle axes that she makes for props for theater. I had a violinist and he was playing for me in the street. The backdrop was about to blow away. And it was fantastic. His hair was blowing and it makes for a great picture. I don't care that the backdrop looks like it's blowing away. That helps the picture. I want to know what makes them tick, and I want some piece of that to be brought into the picture. Sometimes in a melancholy way, sometimes in a whimsical way. A girl in the hot tub swimming because she has no pool, whimsical. The girl with the backpack on because she can no longer go hiking anywhere because all the parks are closed, you know, more melancholy. I was doing a nice thing, the way everybody contributes in a troubled time. You know, the thing that I brought was my camera. But what I did not expect was that simply offering a good deed with my camera, because that's all I could offer, would sort of boost the spirits the way it has. And these families have all come out of their houses and they all put their hand over their heart and they all, you know, I'm in my car, I'm honking. I can't go up and shake their hand. So I honk the horn and they come out of their houses and they all mouth the words, thank you so much for doing this. And I shrug. Oh, it's fine. It's totally fun. I'm having a blast. This is now looking more like a, you know, like a time capsule that somebody will find 150 years from now and look at it and say, wow, this is sort of like a portrait of a class that, you know, evaporated, that had their senior year evaporate. It's a portrait of a lost season.
That was photographer Matt Mendelson. He's completed 400 senior portraits at Yorktown High School. Our radio diary was produced by On Point's Tim Skog. And our program would not be produced without the dedicated and talented staff that we have. It includes Anna Bauman, Jonathan Chang, Eileen Amata, Brittany Knott, Stefano Katsonis, Hillary McQuilkin, James Ross, Dory Scheimer, Tim Skog, Grace Tatter, Adam Waller, and Sydney Wertheim. I'm Anthony Brooks. Thanks for listening. This is On Point.